Good morning to you and to everyone out there listening. My goodness, maybe I should start out by saying, rain, rain, go away, come again some other day. That's a little statement I used to sing when I was a child. I always wanted to be outside and play. And when it rained, I felt so bad, and I would say that little statement and press my face against the window. And so I guess I can do that again today. The ground really is beginning to be saturated, isn't it? And hopefully and prayerfully, the corn and the soybeans and those gardens are going to make it through all the moisture. Well, aren't you glad the Lord is still in charge? That's right. And all we need to do is trust Him. And this is 4th of July week. Are you making big plans? I'm sure you are. Probably a picnic or whatever. I know our family will be together for a family reunion at Terry and Carol's. And Grandma and Great-Grandma is looking forward to that. Well, you know what? I promised on one of my past broadcasts that I wanted to do a few broadcasts on nature. I love doing that because it's so obvious in the summertime, the beauty of the Lord. So my heart's filled with praise this morning, and I feel like just shouting hallelujah. I hope you do too. I've been thinking about the wonders of God's creation. I've taken the occasion to sit out on the front porch and watch the birds and watch a little fawn come up in the yard and chew on the berries. And looking out the window, I watched the fox chase a rabbit. That's right. So it's just been so wonderful. And of course, while I'm watching, I'm praising the Lord. And I'm reminded of Romans chapter 1, where the Holy Spirit teaches us how important that we observe God's handiwork. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse." So if you don't observe God's handiwork and thank Him for it, you are without excuse. In other words, God has manifested or showed Himself by His beautiful creations. And you and I can enjoy Him every day. And isn't it sad that so many times we get so busy and concerned about our own life that we ignore, or maybe we even take it for granted. So, you know what? My first nature story is about a watermelon. That's right. You know why I chose that? Because we bought a watermelon this week. Excuse me, and I've been enjoying every bite of it. I love it. So I'm going to be, by the way, purchasing another one and have it for our family reunion. I love to see my grandchildren and great-grandchildren take those and chew on them and smile. And I thought it would be a fun thing to have. And the Lord, isn't He good to give us all the different kinds of food? What a variety. Isn't it fun to go to an outdoor market and go table to table or bin to bin and look at all the wonderful vegetables that the Lord has given us. And I want to talk to you today about the watermelon. The name is true to form because it contains 92.6% water and 6% sugar. So it's low in sugar. Don't have to worry about the diet. And believe it or not, the first recorded watermelon harvest occurred 5,000 years ago over in Egypt. And if you were to visit that land, you could find the paintings on the walls of their ancient buildings. Watermelons were often placed in the burial tombs of the kings to nourish them in afterlife. And by the way, I read also that watermelon keeps for a long, long time if you don't cut it. It'll last and last and last. And when the watermelon spread through the countries along the Mediterranean Sea, and they were taken on the merchant ships. And by the 10th century, watermelons found their way in the land of China, which, by the way, is the number one world's producer. Isn't that something? In 1615, the word watermelon first appeared in the English dictionary. And by the way, did you know that the watermelon is just loaded with vitamins? Oh boy, aren't you glad? High in vitamin C, particularly, and low in fat and sodium. So watermelons are considered a very healthy food. And you know, all parts of the watermelon are edible. There is the beautiful pink interior. Yes, and that tastes so good. Kind of melts in your mouth, doesn't it? And the seeds can be roasted. I've never done that. Have you? I understand that they're very good. Excuse me. And what about the rind? That can be made into pickles, and I have made those, and they're yummy, yummy good. And even the rind has vitamins in it. In China, they use the watermelon rind in stir fries, in stews, and they also pickle them. Well, in 1615, I told you the watermelon first appeared in the English dictionary. Southern food historian John Egerton believes that watermelons made its way to the United States with African slaves. The United States currently ranks fourth in worldwide production of watermelons. 44 states grow them, and that would be Florida, Texas, California, Georgia, and Arizona. And they are the ones who lead in the production. Believe it or not, there are more than 500 varieties with different sizes and different shapes. The World Book of Records show that Kent, a man by the name of Chris Kent of Sevierville, Tennessee, has the world record of growing the biggest and weighing the most pounds of anyone so far in the Book of Records. His watermelon weighed 350 pounds. Can you imagine? Well, all these facts are interesting, but the amazing part is that if you took some of those seeds and you dried them and weighed them, it would require 5,000 1,000 seeds to weigh just 1 pound. W.J. Bryan wrote this. He said, I then applied mathematics to the 40-pound melon. One of these seeds put into the ground when warmed by the sun, excuse me, and moistened by rain, takes off its coat and goes to work. It gathers somewhere near 200,000 times its own weight, and forcing this raw material through a little tiny stem, and that makes up the watermelon. It decorates the outside with a covering of green. Inside the green, it puts a layer of white, and within the white, a core of pink. And although the pink scatters the seeds, each one, excuse me, is capable of continuing the work of reproduction. Let me ask you, what architect drew those plans? Where does it find the coloring matter? Where does that little seed get its tremendous strength? How does it build a watermelon? Well, it's no wonder that the psalmist said in 104, O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. What a beautiful mystery the Lord has performed before our very eyes. The limitless ability of our Lord is without comprehension. Now you and I can understand why I said at the beginning, I feel like shouting, praise the Lord. Think of it. It's only one thing that the Lord has given us to enjoy. Let me close out the broadcast by just reading a few verses of 104 Psalm. If you haven't read it lately, why don't you? It's so beautiful. Oh Lord, how great you are, clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers. They flame like fire. He sets the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. Newton said, the signature of wisdom impressed on the works of God proclaims his glory. Do you love Jesus today? Colossians 1:16 says, Jesus created it all. So when you're out and about this summer, thank the Lord for all of his wonderful vegetables, fruits, and all that he gives us. Well, I'll close by saying, have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.